Amen. Thank you, sister. Please open your Bibles. You could remain seated and turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I promise if you understand, and I think we will understand by the time we're done with the message this morning, that you can take something home with you from God's Word that can literally transform your life. And I'll give you the title of the message, and then I'll explain it from God's Word. The title of the message is Personal Responsibility. Personal responsibility. God says, and we'll read it here, that every one of us will give an account to God for ourselves. And the way we live here on earth, and if we understand that, our life will be very different. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. By the way, he's going to refer to a weak group in verse 2. So he says, receive these weak people. Who are these weak people? Look at verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things. By the way, that's me. Come on, man, bring it on. Bacon, lettuce, tomato, pork chops, and lobster sandwich. Glad we're not under those dietary laws anymore. Okay? With a Dr. Pepper. Just sugar-free? No. A lot of caffeine and a lot of sugar. Okay? Now, for one believeth that he may eat all things. That's most of us. But then he goes on to the next group. Another who is weak. Look up here. We're going to talk about weak people here. Listen now, who are the weak people? Eateth herbs. So don't let the vegetarians make you feel like they're a better Christian than you. God says they're the weaker brethren. Hey, we're going to tofu, no tofu either, okay? And so he's saying, hey, listen, don't get caught up and I'm better than you and we're cutting up a little bit here. But in someone that's, you know, and by the way, I'm all for taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit and take care of your bodies but eat meat while you're doing it. Verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And what he's saying is don't judge each other. This guy's got a big quarter pound of cheese, he's got a shake. He's just not a very good Christian. Okay, and this guy's over here is like, oh man, you know, he doesn't understand. We're not under those dietary laws anymore, and why is he doing that? Just don't fuss about it. Let not him that eateth despise him, verse 3, that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. He said, hey, we can all either eat, you know, pulse and veggies. We can eat double quarter pounders with cheese and shakes, and we can still love Jesus together. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Okay, basically he's saying stay out of other people's business. To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Now he's talking about very, very likely here, Jewish holidays and the Sabbath, maybe in our context today, Christmas and, you know, different days that maybe we celebrate, it could apply to that. But he says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He says, listen, if your conscience bothers you to have a Christmas tree in your house, don't have it. That's fine, and we understand the different pagan holidays and all that. But you make that decision. But don't be judging people in these areas of you know, some would say preferences. Verse 6: He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? And again, he brings us this judging. Or why, obviously here in this church, the Roman church, there's some problems with a judgmental spirit. By the way, there's a book called Judges. Everybody has just about everybody has a responsibility to judge. I judge in my area of my family. I am a judge in my family. The Bible says judge all things. So you got to compare scripture with something. Oh, you know, you guys are all judgmental. Well, no, there are areas where we do have to judge. But there's areas where we don't judge. Okay, by the way, I judge people that are on staff here. You say, why? I have a responsibility. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7 says, or 17 says, I'm going to give an account to God for the church. And so that's a responsibility. But he's saying, hey, listen, you judge in your area of jurisdiction, but stay out of other people's areas of jurisdiction. And by the way, one reason why, and that'll be sort of a context of the message, because we don't have time to judge everybody's area of jurisdiction. Some of us, we're too busy snooping around everybody else's business. And listen, man, our whole life is falling apart. Take care of our own responsibilities. For verse 8, for whether we live, or verse 9, for to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, and he's talking to Christians here, unsaved people will stand before the great white throne judgment. By the way, look up here. We're all going to see the judge. All of us. You say, I don't believe it. You get some guy here, and he's got a 40-ounce bottle of, what do they got him at 40 ounces now, Charlie? Gatorade. He's fast. He's got a 40-ounce Budweiser. I call it Bud Stupider. He's got a 40-ouncer, and he's drinking it, and boom, he hits a couple cars, hurts somebody, and the police are right there, and they put him in jail, and they say, you know, you can go to court, and he's going, I ain't going to court. I ain't going to court. Yes, you are. They'll shackle you and they'll pick you up and put you in court. You're facing the judge one way or the other. We, all of us, every man is going to give an account of himself to God. By the way, that needs to be said behind this pulpit more in our adults. You say, why? Because we are responsible to let people know that. Christianity isn't just about 3 score and 10. It's just not about, God, what can you do for me? We are all going to stand before God someday. Maybe you're a visitor here, and you say, wow, man, that's sorry. I don't think I'm coming back. You ought to be thankful that you came here today. You say, why? Because whether you knew it or not, you are still going to stand before the judge. I told a story about a guy who came from Cambodia, and he killed 2 people accidentally, and he took off. He should have never done it. He didn't know that if he out here, if it's an accident, he wasn't drinking, he wasn't reckless driving, he wasn't on drugs or anything like that. He wasn't driving crazy. It was just an accident. He faced the judge. And that's what God says. We as Christians and the lost people, we are all going to a judgment before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Father, help us as we just teach and preach the word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God says we are all going to give an account of our lives to God. And let me say this, and it's not in my outline, but it just comes to my mind. God says he holds a higher standard to those of us that know better. I don't come down hard on my. I remember one time my son, one of my sons came home and cursed. Preacher's son. Now he was only like 3 or 4. We said, "Who'd you learn that from?" Okay, the kid next door. Okay? Now, he didn't get spanked for that because he didn't even know it was a curse word. But now he does. If he said it again, he's in trouble. And those of us, by the way, number one, those of us that are in America, but also those of us that go to a good Bible-believing church. God has a higher standard for us. And we're not going to turn to all the verses. God says we're all going to give an account of our lives to God for our walk with Him, our service to God, our marriage, our children, our ministry, all of these different, and there, I can go on and on. This we call the judgment seat of Christ. We are responsible. God did not have a clause in those verses we read, and of course the context was about judging, but then he goes on to say, listen, take care of yourself. You're going to stand before God someday, okay? And actually, that judgment is not for our sins. It's for rewards and so forth. But he didn't give a clause. He didn't say that there's not going to be a judgment or you're not responsible for those that have been mistreated. Well, I've been mistreated, so, you know, God doesn't hold me responsible for my actions. Yes, he does. By the way, we've all been mistreated. Some more than others, okay? But he didn't have a clause in there. Well, here are the people that don't have to be responsible. They too must give account to God for themselves. Or I was born in a poor family. Or I was born in an uneducated family. Or I was born in a third world country. The whole list can go on. They too must give an account of themselves to God. Everybody is responsible for their actions. Those born in godless families. I was not born in a Christian home. I was born in a rather non-Christian home. Those born in godless families must also give an account of themselves. We are responsible for actions. Those born without a father in the home. Okay, some of us were born, some of our families split up. And by the way, I understand, as soon as my mom and dad split up, the kids went bad. Started with my brother, my sister, starts with the oldest. Okay, divorce is not what it all seems to be. Okay, and especially for the children. And so we have wonderful people in our church, been divorced and remarried and all that stuff. But I prefer murder, not divorce. I said that one week, and some guy said, I'm going to go home and kill my wife. No, I'm just kidding. He said that. We're just kidding. You understand that? We're just kidding. Sort of. Okay? Somehow make that guy disappear or something. Those born without a father in the home. Joseph, in the book of Genesis, did not blame anybody when his brothers mistreated him, sold in as a slave, or when he was lied about by Potiphar's wife, or when his fellow prisoner did not keep his promise to help him when he got out. Joseph took personal responsibility for himself. Same with Daniel. Daniel didn't go in the blame game. Quickly, number three, not taking personal responsibility for your life or your actions in family or your personal responsibilities can be described as blame storming. Now, I want you to get that word. There's three terms I want you to get. One is a word, and there's two terms. Blame storming. Say, what's blame storming? I've heard of brainstorming. Get everybody together, and we have a little roundtable discussion. Let's come up with the best ideas for the project at hand. But blame storming is this. It is what happens after a problem occurs in those that do not take personal responsibility. We begin to think about who we can blame for our circumstances. Blame stormers begin to think about who or what caused the problem after it happened. Mom, dad, government, neighbor, wife, husband, children, church, boss, God. Those are blame stormers. Something happens, go, it was Brother Ray. It was Brother Charlie. It was my wife. It was my boss. Something happens, or those of us that have children 12 and over, we're perfect blame stormers, including me. I'm tempted to be a blame stormer. Who was that? They falsely accused my son again. By the way, the best place for them to be falsely accused is in the church and in the school, so they can learn how to be falsely accused when they get out there. If you think this is a perfect place, your head's not screwed on tight enough. This is not a perfect place. But it is a place where pretty much we're going to do what we can to be obedient to God and His Word. And someone is going to make a mistake, and someone is going to make a bad judgment call, and somebody is going to maybe have some type of false accusation, but it's not going to be the detriment of your child unless they go home and you begin to conspire to see how we can turn this teacher into a little voodoo doll and put pins in him in our house. There are clear benefits of those that take personal responsibilities for their actions. Family. Their actions and their family and their jurisdiction that God has entrusted them. There's clear benefits. There's so many. By the way, there's going to be part two of the message tonight simply because there's too much to the message that I think the Lord would have us. One benefit is that your God-given authority lays off you. You say, well, I don't get that. There are many benefits to being personal responsible. By the way, one is you're just being obedient to God. Okay, and I'm going to get to your children, your family. But one is, when you take personal responsibility for your actions, you have a cohesive relationship. You have a very good relationship with your boss. You say, I don't quite get that. Let me give an illustration. I don't think this should happen, but when I was in Bible college, I got promotions like that as a member of a church, and not as a staff member. I later on they hired me, but I was just a college student. And they just, boom! I got one promotion, one in ministry, another promotion. Next thing I knew, Brother Kyle, I had 100. I was 22. I looked like I was 15. And I had 100 Bible college students that were directly under me in ministry, and I had 17 bus routes that I was responsible for as a guy barely shaving. And now, by the way, remember this, yay, I'm a big shot. No, you're not a big shot because you're responsible for all that. Every Tuesday, we would go into a meeting with Brother Ray Young, and he was a no-nonsense guy. And it wasn't, oh, what a wonderful leader. No. There were 12 of us. And by the way, I was the baby. I had the biggest, most bus routes, and had the most bus workers, and I was the baby. These were mostly guys, married guys or older guys, and I'm the baby. And so he'd come in there, and I'm a new division leader. And he'd come in there and say, okay. He didn't call me Brother Joe or Dr. Esposito. He said, all right, Joe. I had Division One. He said, this and this happened in your division, and I'm giving an account. You know what I did? First thing I did, I blamestormed. And I learned real fast, do not blamestorm in front of Ray Young. He'd just chew your head up and spit it out. And I said, well, it's, you know, so-and-so and so. Don't tap, blah, blah. He'd jump on you. I'm getting humiliated in front of 11 other men. Whoa. Thank God for my brother. He taught me something. After about three of those, I'm like, man, what do I do? He said, my brother said something like, dummy. He said, just take responsibility and say I'm a stupid idiot. I can't believe I did this. Even if you didn't do it. And then, you know, maybe, you know, it wasn't every week, but I was being, you know, I was in orientation on how not to blame storm. Brother Ray would bring up a problem. I said, Brother Ray, I dropped the ball, and we will fix that. He went on to the next topic of discussion. If I try to blame a bus captain, that's your responsibility. You are responsible for those bus captains. Some bus kid, you know, disappeared. Didn't get home till 10 o'clock at night. It's like, man, we're missing one, you know. We would cut up because we as division, we had the most responsibility on that college as far as non-staff, okay? And so there were a few division leaders, they never got it. And as, I shouldn't laugh. I'm thinking, my mind's going back. And we knew as soon as something came up, they would start blame storming, and we'd all chuckle. We're going, he's getting it. Actually, we always look forward to something to blame storm because we knew he was going to get it. Same thing with children. My children, I don't let them blame storm. I call it, there was a sermon I heard years ago, the fire did it. You remember, they threw all the gold in the, you know, in the fire, and it just came out as this idol. Blame the fire. Fire didn't do it. You guys did it, and quit lying. And I tell my children, fire did it, huh? No blame storming. So blame storming helps us with our relationship with our leaders. Another benefit is that you learn valuable lessons and grow in wisdom if you don't blame storm, but you take personal responsibility. And I'm going to give you these two little phrases that I think if you go out today, that God can use them to help you. Proverbs 15:31 says, the ear that heareth the reproof of life. The reproof of life is when we face the consequences for our actions. Face them. Don't blame somebody else. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. What is that saying? It's saying when you learn from your mistakes and take personal responsibility for your actions, guess what happens? You become wise. So that's why some people grow in wisdom so quickly, because they are their parents have taught them to be responsible. But if it's always blame storming, you don't grow. You're 70 years old, and you're well. You know, grandma's been dead for 10 years. There are also clear negative consequences for those that do not take personal responsibility for their life and their actions. By the way, psychologists, the unsaved psychologists, they you know, every once in a while they do get it right. Psychologists say that some people, and I want you to get these two phrases, they're two-word phrases. Psychologists say that some people possess an internal focus. That's the first phrase, internal focus of control, where they rely primarily on themselves, and we, of course, trust God, and we understand that, for the gains and losses in their lives. This is called personal responsibility. And so what they're saying is, these psychologists say there's two types of people. When a problem comes, the first thing they do, look internally, and they say, okay, how did I possibly cause this? What maybe there's other people that are involved, but how did I possibly, how was I maybe the root problem of this whole thing? That's an internal focus. And then the psychologist, they use this other phrase, and it's called, and they say, I quote, others possess an external focus of control, where they blame other people and other things when something goes wrong. If you can leave here today and say, the next time something goes wrong, the first thing I need to do is look up to heaven and say, God, did I cause this or part of this? You will be so far ahead of the game, you can't understand it. And then make a decision to say, God, whenever something comes my way, my wife, my child, my family, my responsibilities at work, whatever it is, when something bad happens, I'm not going to say, hey, who was it? Some of us, the reason we're not getting a promotion at work is because every time your boss corrects you, you just talk about how lousy of a boss he is. And then the ones that are saying, thank you, boss, for showing me where I can grow, you're getting the promotion. And we wonder why the young guy or the inexperienced guy is getting the promotions. It's because the boss says, I know this guy is not where I want him to be, but he's going in the right direction. He's taking personal responsibility. Those with internal focus taking personal responsibility are typically more successful. Again, this is from the secular psychology. By the way, they are not our authority. Just every once in a while they get it right and they actually agree with what the Bible says. But they say they're more successful, they're more content. They learn a lot more to better their future. They're better parents, they're better employees, they're better bosses, and they're better leaders. Those that have internal focus. Instead of getting all mad at the, you know, I can't believe this guy turned me in at work for, you know, coming in late, and he told the boss. It may have been God that nudged him to tell the boss so you'd quit cheating the company so that you can have a clear conscience. By the way, nothing is outside of the hands of God, no matter what the problem is. Taking personal responsibility is a mental choice and cannot be an emotional choice. Emotional choices, when it comes to personal responsibility, always cause us to go external. By the way, I deal with this all the time. I am human. I have the same flesh that everybody else has. And as soon as the problem comes, I want to blame somebody. I want to blame whoever I see. It's your fault. Whoever's closest to me. Yeah. You know, the blame game. I'm made of the same flesh. We all are. If you go by your emotions, you will become external in your focus. We often call this victim mentality. By the way, tonight I'll talk about there are certain politicians or political mindsets that are ruining our country because they are ruining good and well-meaning people. They're teaching them to be externally focused instead of internal. Oh, you know, your mother fed you with a slingshot. It's okay that you killed your cousin. Now, I know that's extreme. I don't care if your mother fed you with a bazooka. You still are personally responsible to God. By the way, there are people here, Brother Pineda's children, they've been reared in a godly home with a godly mother, and they've been taught right. They're very pleasant children. They're personally responsible for their actions. And then some of us, we weren't. I wasn't reared in a godly home. But I am as responsible for my actions as Mark Pineda is, as he grows up. Okay? So that whole victim mentality, and by the way, there are people, very gifted people, that are stuck in that don't get me started. Our government right now is creating a bunch of monsters in this country. Our government is not responsible to feed us, to give us health care. It is not responsible. Whatever happened to God? Whatever happened to getting on our knees and praying and saying, God, and listen, I just got in trouble. That's okay. Brother Beller was here, and you might want to get the message on the what is our government responsible for? Protect our person, place, and our possessions. That's it. Now they're telling us what kind of toilet we have to have. Our founding fathers did not start a government to tell us what kind of windows to put in our house. So are you mad at them? Yes. No. It just frustrates me every once in a while. Man, they're in every part of your life. I go to communist Laos. I've been to communist China. I'm over there. I sometimes feel the same way here. They're intruding in every area of our lives. Where are we? Get back to the Bible. Personal responsibility is best taught as a child. Moms and dads. Proverbs 22:6, we're familiar with that. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Some depart from it because of rebellion, but he's saying there's a bent to not depart from it. Train our children to be personally responsible. If you want a good name and to be very responsible, and to be a very responsible adult, when you are 50, you cannot cut corners and have an external focus, that's that little phrase, the victim mindset when you are young. The time to be concerned about your reputation is before you have one. Teach your children to take personal responsibility for their actions at a young age. Okay? Brother Ray is the hair checker in our church, our school. We have, by the way, you put your children in our school, there's a handbook, you sign it, you go by the policies. Getting a little quiet when I talk about Brother Ray and hair. I have 5 boys. They've all, well, I don't know if Joseph wasn't under you, was he? Was Tim? No, but Dan, the rest of them. My boys have been lambasted and demerited and put under the bus in regards to their hair, and they come home, and I'm thinking, what do we got to do? Give this guy a bald head for him to pass? By the way, Brother Ray, he's one of my favorites. If I am allowed to have favorites, I'm not supposed to. I really like him. But I don't come to our kids and say, I can't believe Brother Ray gave you more. Look at you. Man, what do we got to do? You know what I tell my wife? Give him a haircut. Get him over there. Send him to Ryan Rawls' house. He does it for free. No, he doesn't. No, no mohawk. That won't pass either. That's like 10 demerits. I am not teaching my children to rebel against the authority of the church. Now, I am emotional like you are, and I want to go external. Ray Pichardo doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, there's somebody. Who's in charge? Switch to hair checkers. No, this is an opportunity for my children to say, we're taking personal responsibility. Over there, the guy that they got that's checking, he's the one we need to learn how his hair standard, how he reads that handbook. And said, oh. You know when I do that, I'm teaching my children to rebel. I'm teaching my children not to take personal responsibility. And now they're mad at the school, they're mad at Brother Ray, and they're mad at everything that's going on over here, and they won't listen to anybody. We wonder why they have such a bad attitude. In our home, this is fun, isn't it? Because now you're going, oh, man, I feel the pastor's pain because my kids have had the same thing. Just go down to Walmart and get yourself one of those little... Cut it yourself, okay? One of my sons, I won't say, Harry, you're going to have five sons, you don't know which one. One of my sons, one time in our home, we have a rule now when they're little, and Nathaniel and Ben are the only ones that this would apply to now. If you have money, I want to know where that money came from, and you can't just have money in your pocket. You say, why? Where are you getting this money from? And one of our sons, days gone by, had some cash. Okay, we're like, hey, where'd you get that cash? He said, I found it. Hey, listen, that quick thinking, amen? I found it. And I said, where did you find it? Actually, my wife led me onto this. Where did you find it? In the living room. The living room floor? Molly, this was not a two-year-old. I said, son, come here. I'm going to teach him personal responsibility real fast. Come to find out that one of the older sons lost that 20, and he did. He accidentally walked through the living room and dropped it. And one of my other sons, he believes in that one verse in Hezekiah, finders keepers, losers reapers. And he just saw him walk by and said, hey, man, that's mine. And I said, son. Yeah, the Bible says if you find something, you're supposed to go look and find out whose that is. That's why if I see something, I ain't picking it up. I don't have time to go find out who owns it. No, man, I'm not going to be in violation of Scripture. I'll have Charlie find it and say, hey, would you pick that up? He gives it to me. I'm thinking, I got it. Now you go find out whose it is. I said, son, guess what? That's stealing. But I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And by the way, I know how we found out. We found out because he had bought a few things. Okay. By the way, when your children are like buying like high-end stuff, you better find out where they got the money. You know, little elementary kids got, it's like, hey, where'd you get the money? I said, guess what you're going to do? I said, until you come up with $20, I said, we're going into all of your belongings. And we are going to have collateral. And you're going to give those things to your brother until you find 20 bucks. Not find it. That's he already found 20. You know. But tears are coming up in his eyes. And I said, how much is it? All my boys have knives. They have, we just, oh, knives. You know, we like knives. It's just a nice thing to have for boys. And so he's got a bunch of my little boy. All the boys have knives. Bigger they get, the bigger the knives get. I said, all right, let's see this knife. How much was this? You know, $5. I said, okay, it's not worth $5 on the market right now. It's probably $3. Boom, we put that there. And we got a collection of stuff. We said, okay, $20. We gave it to the bigger brother and told the bigger brother, he found your $20. Okay, now what you got to do, you're either going to lose this stuff or you're going to find, I keep saying find, you're going to get $20 and then you can get your stuff back. You say, Pastor, what were you doing? I was teaching my little son personal responsibility. Now, I could have spanked him on his bottom, and I think it was better that we taught him that responsibility. Teach your children in a young age. Do not allow your children to be dishonest when they get caught doing something. Okay? Just look, I'll tell my children, how many, and I'm going to be the first, I have 8 of them, how many have ever caught your child in a lie? Raise your hand. Oh, the rest of us have little angels at home. I tell my children they are going through the great tribulation if they lie to me. I'm going to spank them until the fire alarms go off in my house. Okay? But I say, listen, if you do something and we ask you about it and you confess to it and you don't start blame storming or lying, you're going to have a lot. Listen, the fire alarms aren't going to go off. Teach them to be honest. Teach them to take personal risk. Listen, they do something. Someone says, did you do it? Yes, I did it. By the way, the smarter you are, the better brainstormer you are. You just sort of start going all over the place and you come up with some excuse. By the way, I know a lot of really good people. They're good and they have a heart for God, but because when they were children, their parents lived as brainstormers. And everybody, it was always everybody else. And they just live, and you gotta just sort of cast the demons out to teach them responsibility. They're not bad people. It's just like they've lived like that for so long, blaming them and blaming my poor mom, she's in heaven, right? I'll never forget. I got in trouble, and she went down there, and I got suspended, and she gave the principal, I loved it. She gave the principal a piece of her mind. I'm like, yes. And I'm thinking now, my mom made a grave mistake. There used to be a day when you got spanked. How many ever remember when they spanked at school? I don't mean private school. I mean public school. Yeah, Mr. Burnight. Okay. Did you have Mr. Burnight? Yeah. Obviously, he got a lot of them. It used to be a day when you got spanked at school. Guess what happened? When you come home, it's not like, oh, they spanked my kid. It was, bend over, son. You're getting another one. I can't believe you did that at the school. I didn't do it. Yeah, you did. And if you didn't do it, you deserve it because last time you got away with it. Well, nowadays, it's like, oh, they hurt my Peabody's feelings. You know what we're doing? We're teaching our children. They're going to go to work someday, and they're going to get a job, and they're going to have some responsibility. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to allude back to those days when they was like, well, you know, we didn't take personal responsibility. This is fun. Be an example of taking personal responsibility to your children. Look. So all of us, I have 8 children. You mean to tell me I'm not going to make a mistake? Every day, decisions or lack of decisions. Most of my mistakes aren't decisions I make. It's not being proactive to prevent something. Recent weeks with one of my adult children live in my home. I have 3 adult children live in my home. And is this a little drama? Little drama. How many of you ever have drama at home? Anybody have a drama? Oh, okay, me too. Just a little drama. By the way, don't just act like, and you say, what'd you do? I brought one of my children and I said, you know what? That was my fault. I should have done X, Y, and Z. You know, forgive me. You say, what are you doing? The best thing I'm doing is I'm teaching my adult sons, take personal responsibility for your actions. And parents, this is so important. Look, our culture is ruining our parents. We used to have a very good Judeo-Christian culture in America. you get in trouble down the street, we believed the adults before we believed our 12-year-old son. I know your 12-year-old son has never lied, nor mine. You know, if the lady down the street said, he broke my window, now, I'm gonna, and I might say, okay, son, if you didn't do it, but she thinks you did it, let's get the money to fix it. Parents, it's very important to take personal responsibility. Let's bow our heads for just a moment and let's stand together.